Thank you, Brother Andy. We greet you all again this evening in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We trust that our gathering together tonight, that we would sense the presence of the Lord in a very real way, and that this evening would be a time when God has free course to do whatever He wants to do in each of our hearts. I know that will bring Him glory. We have a subject before us that we would like to consider tonight that I believe is very important, very foundational in the kingdom of God. We would like to consider tonight the subject of forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins. I'm going to not cover every aspect of this. We're going to touch on a couple of main points this evening. The subject is too big to cover in one evening, but we're going to endeavor to bring what I believe that the Lord has laid on our heart this evening. I say that I believe that forgiveness is a very important and foundational part of the kingdom of God for three reasons. The first reason is because there's no way that you will ever enter into the presence of God without it. You will never experience the joy of salvation without it. That's just no way. That's what salvation is, a big part. You'll never be in Christ without it. The forgiveness of sin is a very big part of our personal testimony of our relationship with God. That we are forgiven. Also, another reason is that it is a very scriptural part of our relationship with each other as brethren. This is one of those subjects that is not just a blessing that we have to us from God and we are forgiven, but it is a commandment for us that we would pass this same forgiveness that we have received from God onto each other. It greatly affects our relationship with each other and our fellowship with each other. When we forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And I know that Brother Andrew has been talking to you young people about relationships. But I want you to know that when you forgive someone from your heart, when you really do, that is one of the greatest relationship builders that there is. It works in building a relationship with your parents, with your father, with your mother, and them with you, and you with your siblings, and your brethren in Christ. At every level, including marriages, the forgiveness of sin is a relationship builder. But I want us to know tonight, and that's part of the message here this evening, part of the burden on our heart, is that if we don't forgive one another, if we can't forgive and pass that forgiveness of God on, then there is a very serious warning from the Scriptures to us that neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. So we need to take a look at this. And the third reason is that that is part of the message that we bring to a lost and a dying world. Amen. To a sin-cursed world is the message of the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Before a holy God, it's the message, I'm going to say, of the Great Commission. Jesus said in Luke that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. And so it's part of the message that we bring to the world around us. So it's part of our testimony. It's part of our salvation. It's part of our relationship with each other. And it's part of the message that we bring to a lost and a dying world. And it's totally and completely and only possible through the sacrifice and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so having said that this evening, I would like to have another word of prayer before we launch into this beautiful and very serious subject before God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, this subject is big, and how precious it is to your heart. We stand before you here tonight, Father, and we stand before this crowd of people not knowing who is here. Not knowing if there was someone here who has never experienced the forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who is struggling for the assurance of that forgiveness. Maybe there's someone here tonight who has never been able to pass forgiveness on to their brother. I don't know who's here tonight, Lord, but I know this. I am here. And I feel my great need for my life to be under the blood, to be forgiven. I know my great desire to feel the assurance of that forgiveness. And Lord, I know the struggle that I've had to pass this unreserved forgiveness on to others. And so I know, Lord, that you have a work that you need to do here tonight, right here in this very pulpit. And if there's anyone else, Father, that you want to do business with tonight, I just pray that we would give you liberty, Father. That you would have free course to do what you want to do. We do believe, Father, that when we give you that liberty, that you will take it. And you will do it for our well-being. And you will do it to your name's honor and glory. So we ask that you would have your way this evening, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like to begin this evening by opening our Bibles to Psalm 103. This is a beautiful psalm. I would like to read it tonight, that the grace of God may be upon us. I've always loved the scripture in Acts that says that great grace was upon them all. And that's our desire for us this evening. So Psalm 103, let's read it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a beautiful psalm. There are some tremendous verses in this psalm on forgiveness. It says in there, right at the beginning, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. But there are also some very tremendous verses here on what I'm going to say is the foundation for forgiveness. And whenever we read a passage of Scripture, any Scripture, but like this, I believe it's so important that we do everything that we can do to understand it and to comprehend it and to get the magnitude of what is being said here. This psalm has some verses that are very challenging to comprehend. In fact, really you need to be able to comprehend eternity to get a hold of what these verses are saying. Verse 17 says that the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on them that fear Him. Now this is one of the verses that I believe is a foundation for forgiveness. Everlasting means lasting forever. Never having an end. In other words, for all eternity. So it's saying here, from all eternity to all eternities. How big is that? How much mercy is that? We're talking two eternities here. From all eternity to all eternity. That much mercy. Can you comprehend it? I know that our finite minds cannot comprehend it. But I believe that our spirit can. And it's our desire to stir our spirit this evening toward God. And so we need to get a hold of this. And I want us to know that all that mercy, even that much mercy that fills up all of two eternities twice, is not enough mercy for God to forgive our sins. Why is that? Because we are taught in the Scriptures that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But it took all of that mercy and love, and it's out of that great mercy that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and that through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, through faith in the blood that He shed, that we can have the forgiveness of sins. That is what Paul preached in the book of Acts. In Acts 13:38, it says this. Paul said to his Jewish brethren, he said, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." But I want to challenge us. There's a foundation for this forgiveness. It took that much mercy for God to be willing to sacrifice His Son for us. That is why I say that this verse is a foundational verse for forgiveness. Now in verse 10, it says that He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And I want to challenge us, and I trust from this psalm we are learning here about the forgiveness of sins. We are going to learn how God has dealt with our sin. We are learning how completely God has taken our sins away. And for us to fully understand verse 10, how He has dealt with our sin, in verse 11, He takes us right back into outer space. I want you to notice that. He says he's not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And he goes right back into, for as the heaven is high above the earth. And that word heaven, it includes astronomy. It includes the ether planes. All of outer space, if you please. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Now I want you to just think about that for just a minute. You know the dimensions of outer space. We have heard it. We have all staggered to comprehend what light years away means and what all is out there and how big it is. I think we've probably all walked out at night and looked up into the sky on a clear night and we've seen the stars of the Milky Way. All the stars of the Milky Way. That is our galaxy. That is the galaxy that Earth is in. It's the Milky Way galaxy. And scientists tell us that there are at least 100 billion more galaxies out there beyond us. And more beyond that. And that information simply prepares us to understand the forgiveness of sins in verse 12. It says here, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. We need to comprehend this. We are learning here about how God forgives our sins. And we are also, should be, learning how we should forgive each other. I believe that to better understand this verse, that as far as the east is from the west, it merits a little lesson in geometry. When I was in school, I always liked geometry, and I hope that my teacher would be pleased to know that I still remember this at 70. But I'm going to get a chalk here. I want to illustrate something. I remember being taught that when you have two points up here, point A and point B, and when you connect them, that is called a segment. It's not a line, it's just a part of a line. And point A and point B are totally connected. Point A can always find point B, and point B can always find point A because they are connected. And it doesn't matter if they're 10 million miles apart, which is nothing in outer space, but no matter how far apart they are, point A knows that you go this direction, you will find point B. And point B can go this way, no matter how far it is, and point B will find point A because they are connected. But I remember being told that when we have one point right here, and point B is not there, and the line just goes forever in this direction, that is called a ray. It has a starting point, and then it goes forever. And there is no way to find point B, because no matter how far you go this direction, point B is always beyond the arrow. It's a disconnect. There's no way that point A can connect with point B because it's always beyond the arrow, no matter how far you go. No matter how many eternities you want to pile up, no matter how far you want to go in outer space, point B is always beyond the arrow. Now, when you have a line like this, it goes both directions. This is point A. You can never get to point A, because no matter how far you go this way, point A is always beyond the arrow. And you can never get to point B, because no matter how far you go this way, point B is always beyond the arrow. It's a double disconnect. No matter how far you go this way, it's like from everlasting to everlasting. That's what it means. There's no possible way to connect them. They're a double disconnect. And that's the message of the Scriptures here. A is east, and B is west. It's impossible to connect them. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. That's marvelous to me. I enjoy that. But God is trying to make us understand here not only how He forgives our sins, but how we need to forgive each other. So we know that the heaven of heavens cannot contain God. He's too big. But I want us to know also that the heaven of heavens and all eternity and all of two eternities filled up twice cannot show you how far God has removed our sins from us. We are learning here from the Scriptures about the remission of sins. I want to tell you a story this evening. It's a true story. I know it's true because it happened to me. It's kind of a confession, but that's okay. I was driving along, and this is several years back now. I don't even remember how long ago it was. But I was driving along, and I got stopped by an officer. And he pulled me over. And I don't even remember what the offense was. It was probably speeding, but I don't really remember. And he gave me a ticket. He just simply gave me a ticket. And I don't like tickets. And he was very nice. He explained to me, you have two options. You can just pay this fine. You can just send this amount of money in to this address right here. Or you have the option to appear in court. And I told him that I knew I was guilty. I can't even remember exactly what it was for, but I knew I was guilty. And I was not about to tell anybody that I was not guilty. But I chose to appear in court, perchance that there would be some mercy given. And so I chose to appear in court. And it was written on that ticket, the time and the place and the date that I had to meet and stand before the judge. And so I did that. I was there. I appeared, and there was all kinds of people, and it was confusing. But I tried to be patient in waiting my turn, and eventually my name was called, and I stood before the judge. And I was guilty. And he had my ticket in his hand. And I stood there, and we had a little bit of a conversation there. It was short, and I don't remember what all was said, but there was a point when the judge looked at me, and this is what he said. And I don't know what moved the judge that day. I don't know what stirred in his spirit, but he looked at me and he said, I am going to pardon you from this offense. And I stood there, shocked. I knew that I was guilty. He knew that I was guilty. He had my ticket right there in his hand. And I was standing there trying to figure out what he meant. And I was trying to process this thing in my mind. And he looked at me and he said, that means you are free. You may go. And I stood there almost dizzy, almost confused, trying to process this thing, and he looked at me and he said again, I said, you are free, you may go. And I caught on this time, and so I went. And I was told that after you stand before the judge, you go to the clerk and you pay the court costs and any fine that there is. So I left the courtroom and I went to the clerk. And I stood there and I told her, I said, I'm here to pay you whatever I owe. And she said, okay, what is your name? And so I told her. And the way I remember it, she looked through her stack of papers. And she came back and she said, "What did you say your name was?" And I told her again. And she went through her stack of papers again. And there was some confusion there. And I told her, I said, "Ma'am, I just stood before the judge. I came straight here from there." And she said, "What is your name again?" And she looked through the papers. And then she came back to me a little bit later. And she said, "Sir, we don't have anybody by that name on file. We have no record whatever of anybody by that name." She said, "That means you are free. You may go." Well, I caught on a little quicker that time, and so I went. And I went back through the metal detectors and all that stuff, and when I got out of the courthouse, I'm just going to tell you tonight, and I was on the street, and I took a deep breath of air, and I felt so free. It's like, I don't know if I've ever felt that free. I wasn't even on record. That thing had been wiped out. It was totally gone. I didn't owe a thing. And I was as guilty as you could get. And I want to tell you something about that judge. He forgave my sin. He did it right. My sin was gone. It was completely gone. But I want to tell you something about that judge. He forgave me one sin. That's all. Just one. And he did it right. He did it complete, but he only forgave one sin. But look here what God has done, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Think about it. If I felt that free, having one sin forgiven, how do you think it feels to have everything that you have ever done wrong in your whole life forgiven that way? I think that's what the scripture means when it says, "When the Son hath made you free, then shall you be free indeed." Everything that you have done wrong, including who you are in Adam, forgiven. I want to tell you tonight, if there's anyone here who has not experienced that kind of forgiveness, I'm just telling you, I'm going to invite you. This could be your week here this week. This could be your night here tonight. And if you are halting between two opinions and you just can't make yourself come, I would further share this thought with you. In that experience I shared with you, I knew that I was guilty. And I had an appointment to stand before the judge. I had an appointment to stand before an earthly judge. And I kept my appointment. And I confessed my sin. And that time, I was forgiven. But I want to challenge you with this thought. What if I had not kept my appointment? What if I had just not shown up? What if I had refused to meet with the judge? And I had mocked this thing. And I had made light of it. And went my own way and ignored it. Would I have been forgiven? There's no way. What would have happened to me if I had refused to meet with an earthly judge? And I'm going to say, there's lots would have happened, but not much would have happened to me compared to what will happen to you if you refuse to meet with the judge of all the earth at the appointment he has made to meet with you. If the gentle hand of the Savior is reaching out to you tonight or this week, I'm just going to encourage you to reach out and take it. Keep the appointment. Show up. You can be set free from everything that you've ever done wrong, including who being delivered from who you are in Adam and become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I just want to use the experience that was so real to me. I'll never forget how free I felt that day for one sin being forgiven. Going on here, I would like to consider for a little bit the verse that we referred to last night in Ephesians 4:32, that we would be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are commanded in Scripture that we need to forgive one another. Young men, you need to forgive your father. He makes mistakes. You need to forgive your mother. They need to forgive you. You make mistakes also. You need to forgive your pastor. You need to forgive your siblings, all of us. God wants us to forgive one another just like God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. The same forgiveness that we have received from God, we need to pass on to others. And I want to remind us tonight, never forget the foundation upon which forgiveness comes. And that's unlimited, infinite mercy and love. If you try to forgive someone that you don't really love, you're probably not going to be able to forgive them as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Because the foundation's not there. If you try to forgive someone because you know that you should, or that you have to, you're probably not going to be able to forgive that person as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So I'm going to encourage us tonight, never overlook the foundation for forgiveness. It's love and mercy. And you'll never really be able to forgive anyone without it. We said before that this is a real relationship builder. God puts tremendous emphasis on relationships because God wants peace among His people. God puts so much emphasis on relationships that He literally says in Matthew 5 that if you know someone who has something against you, or even the other way around, I believe it also includes if you have something against someone, if there's anything between you and someone else, and you want to go to church to worship, and you want to go to Bible school to grow, or if you want to go to the mission field to serve, or if you want to go to communion and partake, Jesus says, just stop. Jesus literally says, just stop right there and leave your gift at the altar. First, go be reconciled to that other person. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and worship. Then come and bring your gift. Then come and serve with a clear heaven. In other words, anything between you and your brother is a hindrance to your own relationship with God. Anything between you and your brother is a hindrance to your worship and whatever you want to do in service to God. And I'm going to add to that, anything between you and your brother or someone else is going to hinder your prayers. And it's going to hinder God answering your prayers. I want to read to you from Mark 11. And you can turn there if you want to, but you can just listen. I'll just read it. Mark 11, 22 through 26 I'm going to read. And Jesus answering saith unto them, and he's talking about prayer here, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. But take note here. And when ye stand praying, forgive. In other words, forgiveness affects the power of prayer. When ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And if your trespasses are not forgiven, because you will not forgive your brother, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, and so your trespasses are not forgiven, I'm just going to tell you, I don't think that sounds like answered prayer. That sounds like a brass heaven. You know, I was on my way here yesterday, and my father called me. My father is 95 years old. He's an old man. He calls me every day. My father loves to pray. And he told me that he'd be praying for me here. And I cherish my father's prayers. And I told him one of the subjects that was on my heart was forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you what he said. And I don't remember him ever telling me this before. He's told me that he prays for me every day. And he loves to pray, but he's never told me this. He said, Dale, sometimes when I'm praying, I just stop. And I just say to God, Lord, I forgive anyone who has ever done anything wrong to me. Just bless them, Lord, and keep them. I love them. I forgive them. And then he said, even my enemies. And I was just listening. Because he said, I don't want anything to hinder my prayers. I'm just going to give that to you for what it's worth here this evening from a 95-year-old prayer warrior that doesn't want his prayers to be hindered. It will hinder your prayers. It will hinder your walk with God if you do not forgive. Even in marriage, husbands and wives are admonished in Scripture to be together in things, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I just tell you, we're living in an age when we can't afford to have our prayers hindered. I want to read verses 25 and 26 again of this chapter. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now I want to ask you a question. And it's an old question. We've all heard it before. I know that Gary Miller actually wrote a book by this title one time. And said this. What if God really meant what he said? Now, we don't ask that question wondering if God meant what He said. We know that He meant what He said. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. That's written in red. That's words from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I challenge us this evening, what if He meant what He said? Well, if He meant what He said, and we will not forgive our brother their trespasses because He knew better than that, and He hurt me so deeply, and He wounded my soul when He did that, and I just can't forgive Him. I tell you what that means tonight. It means God will not forgive you your trespasses. We can't afford to have that happen to any of us. God puts tremendous emphasis on relationships. And when those relationships are not clear, it hinders our prayers. It hinders our walk with God. I want to turn now to a classical story in the Scriptures in Matthew 18, and I want to encourage you to turn there, and we'll just kind of read that thing together. I'll read it. I want to read verses 21 to the end of the chapter. And here again, written in red. And I don't know that we put more emphasis on that, but there's just something special about that, that this is words from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so starting in verse 21, Peter came to Him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" My brother sinned against me. He did wrong. He hurt me. "How many times shall I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Jesus said, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." Now I want you to realize that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is something that takes place among the children of God. A certain king would take account of his servants. Verse 24, "And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And I looked at that and I wondered how much money that was. And so I looked it up, and the information that I got said it was $3.5 billion. And that it would take 200,000 years of good, present paying labor to pay that debt. That's how much he owed. That is significant. "For as much he had nothing to pay. So his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant who had been forgiven $3.5 billion, a debt that he could never pay, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And I was curious when I read that, how much is 100 pence. How much did this man owe him? And the information that I got was $237. It was a debt that with a little bit of patience, he could pay. But he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. And I want you to notice this verse. So likewise, in other words, just like that, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And so I say again, what if God meant what he said? So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I want us to know this evening that the promises of God are unconditioned. That's not a very popular statement in much of professing Christianity today. But I'm going to say it because I believe it and because I believe the Word teaches it. The promises of God have a condition that go with them, and when the condition is met, the promises are sure. But when the condition is not met, the promise is in jeopardy. I marvel that there are so many people that take away the condition but still claim the promise. That little word "if" that appears so much in Scripture, the condition usually appears after that little word "if." But the word "then" usually brings the promise. And the "if-thens" in the Scripture are many. And we sang about one of them this evening in the onset here of this meeting. If my people, which are called by my name, and here's the condition. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then, and here comes the promise, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. That's the subject we have before us tonight. And will heal their land. When the condition is met, the promise is sure. I want to give you some more examples from Scripture. They are all through the Bible. Colossians chapter 1 says that Christ will present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. It's a glorious promise. Think about it. You stand before the Lord and He's going to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. They're standing before God, and there is nothing that God can reprimand you for. Glorious promise. But does anyone know the very next word in that sentence? That's not the end of the sentence. If ye continue in the faith and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, that's a condition. And if that condition is not met, it puts the promise in jeopardy. I want to give you some more examples. God gave a promise to Eli. And I'm going to turn there and I'm going to read that. You don't need to turn there. 1 Samuel 2:30 is where I'm turning. God had promised Eli that him and his sons would stand before God forever in the office of priesthood. But there was a point when Eli did not restrain his sons, when he did not train them and teach them in the holy way of God. This is what God said. I want you to listen to this. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed. In other words, there's no question about what I said. This was the promise, and the promise was sure. I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. Isn't that something? God said, I said verily that thou and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And God told Eli he was going to cut off every son in his household. Why did God do that? Did God go back on his word? No, he didn't go back on his word. There was a condition with the promise. And when the promise is not, when the condition is not met, the promise is in jeopardy. And I want us to know tonight, I've been telling you that to tell you this. The forgiveness of sin has two conditions. And they are from Scripture and they are from God. The first condition on the forgiveness of sins is confession and repentance. They go together. And that's what the Word of God teaches. If we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And when the condition is met, the promise is sure. It's a sure word of prophecy. Repentance and the remission of sin go together. They cannot be separated. It is the message of the Great Commission that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in the name of Jesus in all nations. You can't separate them. The condition, repentance from the promise, complete forgiveness. I think we have tried to bring what the Lord has laid upon our hearts. The incredible forgiveness of God. The complete forgiveness of God. When the conditions are met, the promise is sure. But if we cannot forgive, if we cannot pass it on, the promise is in jeopardy. I encourage us all to stand here this evening. Let's all stand before the Lord. As we stand here before the Lord, I'm going to say this. We all need forgiveness. I tremble at the thought of the promise of forgiveness being taken away because the condition was not met. I tremble at the thought of my prayers being unanswered because I failed to forgive my brother, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. But I want to remind us tonight, when the condition is met, the promise is sure. I want to sing a song before the Lord here this evening. Let's open our songbooks to number 918. The song here is I Surrender All. We want to give God liberty. I believe it's 918. I want to sing this song before the Lord. And I think I want to open the altar tonight for anyone who feels like they have not met the condition. If there's anything hindering you to forgive someone completely, If God has laid someone on your heart that you're holding back forgiveness from, we want to give you an opportunity this evening to come before God and make it right. We want to encourage you to meet the condition. And I want to encourage you, if you have an appointment with God tonight, don't be one of those who do not show up. When the condition is met, the promise is sure. Let's sing this song before the Lord. And there's liberty to come forward and meet with the judge of all the earth.